This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening everyone. Bruchim Abayim. Welcome back to the Shiurim after Yom Tov, Parshas Noach. So this is our first Shiur on Sefer Bereishis here together. And we thank our sponsors of tonight's Shiur. Sefer Bereishis Shiurim are sponsored by Dr. Zakheim, Umishpachta, Leila Nishmas, Rav Shlomo, Eliezer, Ben, Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Leila Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka, Bas Tovia, Rishama Shavan Aliyah, Shabit Melitze, Yisharm for their home Mishpacha, for Simcha, Senachas, Adbias, Goel Tzedek. Tonight's shir is sponsored by my dear friend, Shaul Shimon Karniel of Belgium. In honor of the chasna of his daughter, Tzipa Devaira to Yitzchak Gedalia Bolag. They should be Zoichet, Livnois, Bayis, Neman, B'Yisrael, L'Shem, L'Tefaras. Okay, Parshas Noach. I know you know the story, you've heard the story before, but you never heard it this way. A new perspective on Parshas Noach. Let's begin with the dimensions of the Teva. As we know, nothing in the Torah is trivial. So the Torah gives you the dimensions of the boat, then it must be these dimensions are very important. The last time you went on a boat, I don't think you asked for the dimensions of the ship, nor did you care what the dimensions of the ship. Even people, they go on a cruise, they want to know who's the caterer, who's the chazan, where you're headed. I don't think anybody ever asked how wide the ship is, how tall the ship is. And yet, this boat, the Torah gives us exact dimensions. Yeah? Azriel, you hear? The Torah gives us exact dimensions of the teva. What are they? This is how you should make it. 300 amos, the length of the teva. 50 ama rachba, 50 amos wide, 30 amos kaimasa, and 30 amos tall. Who cares? What is the significance of 300 by 50 by 30? So there's an amazing Malbim. The Malbim says that the dimensions of the Teva are coming to be merames, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to spread over this new world a sukkah. Because I always wondered, you know, we know there's a concept that the parshios of the week are connected to the zman of the year. I hope one day, Baruch Hashem, the Sefer on Bereishis is being born now in Eretz Yisrael. We hope it will arrive over the weekend, Be'ezus Hashem. But I hope one day to have something on the connection between every parsha of the year and the zman. Because we know, okay, parshas Miketz and Vayigash is Chanukah, and Tetzav is Purim, and Vayikratzav is Pesach, and Bamidah Shavuos. Yeah, but what about all the other parshios? Why is one parsha in Cheshvan and one parsha in Tammuz? I think there's a lot of fertile ground over there. So I thought, what's the connection between Noach and the aftermath of Sukkot? It's perfect. Noach, we always read the week after we start Mashiach Amar HaGoshem. So here it is, we say Mashiach Amar HaGoshem, and look how effective the tefillah is. The whole world is flooded already, right? So that's Bederach Tzachus. But I think there's more than just the heavy rainfall in Parshas Noach. The Malbim says like this, the dimensions of the Teva are to allude to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to spread over the world a sukkah shalom, a sukkah of peace, like it's explained in the Tikkuni Zohar, as we're about to see. And that is the ultimate unification of the Shem Havaya and the Shem Adnos. Havaya connotes God's creating the world out of nothing, and Adnos refers to Hashem's protection. Now, if you take the Shem Havaya, I need you to have an imagination for a moment, okay? Picture in your mind Yud Kei Vav Kei. Could you do that? By the way, you know, the first page in the Mishnah Berurah, it says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, you should place Hashem before you always. That means you should always picture the Yud Kei Vav Kei in front of you. That means you should be able to walk down the street, talk to someone, conduct a business transaction, buy real estate, conduct surgery while you're picturing Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay? I guess it requires practice. Shivisi has, so now picture Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now under the Yud Kei Vav Kei, put under it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So under the Yud, Aleph. Under the Hey, Dalet. Under the Vav, Nun. Under the Hey, Yud. Okay? And now we're going to imagine that the Yud Kei Vav Kei is a Sukkah over Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. And if you do that, you get Shalom. By the way, you know, the word Shalom is always associated with a Sukkah. Why is a Sukkah Shalom? Because your wife sends you outside, and she's inside. That what's exactly the shalom of the sukkah? Why is the sukkah shalom? So listen to this. Take the yud. The yud kevavke is the sukkah over aleph dalet nun yud. Yud times aleph is what? 10. Hey times dalet is what? 20. 10 and 20 is 30. That's the first dimension of the sukkah, of the teva. 30 amos tall. Yud times aleph. Hey times Dalet, 10, 20, 30. That's the first dimension of the Teva. Then you get up to Vav times Nun. What's Vav times Nun? 300. Teva's 300 amos long. Hey times Yud. What's Hey times Yud? 5 times 10? 50. 50 amos wide. The dimensions of the Teva are the name Yud Kei Vav Kei on top of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Yud times Aleph, 10. Hey times Dalet, 20. 30. 30 amos tall. Vav times Nun, 300. 300 amos long. Hey times Yud, 50. 50 amos wide. You got it, Daniel? It works. What? Well, look, the Teva is only three-dimensional, and God has four letters, so this is the best we could do. Okay? Now, where does Shalom come in? Add up 30 times plus 300 plus 50. You get how much? What? How much do you get if you add up 30 plus 300 plus 50? You get 380. What's the numerical value of Shalom? Shin, Lamed, Vav, Mem, 376. Plus the four letters are 380. So the dimensions of the Teva, Sukkas Shalom, the Sukkah of Peace. Now, we know Sukkah is 91, are the two names of God. Yud Kei Vav Kei, 26, plus Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, 65. But so the Sukkah is the ultimate combination of Hashem's two names. And if you put one on top of the other and you multiply, you get the Teva. So what is the Teva? The Teva is like a floating sukkah. That's what the Teva is. The Teva is a floating sukkah. Again, sukkah is a combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, 91, which is broken up into 26 and 65. And if you multiply them, you get the precise dimensions of the Teva. You get the word Shalom, Shalom. So I thought, here it was just the Yom Tov of Sukkos, and we figure, now we have to leave the sukkah. No, Parshas Noach tells you that if you have to go out into the stormy waters, this is how you're going to take the sukkah with you. The Teva is, so to speak, the transition from the sukkah out into the world. Now, it's very interesting. The Gra wrote a Kabbalistic work on Chumash. It's called Yahel Ar. And the Gra says the same thing as the Malbim. The Gra says, Yud and the Hey is the height of the Teva, Vav is the length of the Teva, 5 is the width, and if you times the Yud K by the Aleph Dalet, that's a 30 amos tall, and 6 times 50 is 300, 5 times 10 is 50, that is Shalom with the four letters. And sure enough, the Avodas Yisrael, the Kozhinitzer Magid, one of the masters of Chassidus, he also says the same remez, and then he says, I think what I'm saying is written in a Kabbalah sefer, like I'm saying. Now he doesn't say who. It's the Gra. So the Kozhin Samagid is saying, Kimidumali, that this Kabbalistic cheshbin appears in one of the Kabbalistic works, but of course we know it's written in the work of the Gra. Why the Gra wasn't quoted, but I'll leave it up to your imagination. Okay. Comes the Zayar, and the Zayar says something else, which I wasn't even sure if I was going to mention in the Shir until about 15 minutes before the Shir, and I think this is a great matana. Noach is told to bring into the Teva Shnayim Shnayim. Now, literally, shnayim shnayim means two of every species. It doesn't mean four. It means two of each species. And then Noach is told shiva shiva from the non-kosher animals. Now, it's not two plus seven. It's seven from the non-kosher. It's two of the non-kosher animals, and the kosher a total of seven. But the Zohar reads it instead of a total of seven, shnayim shnayim, four. Shiva, shiva, 14, a total of 18. None of the Mefarshim learn that way. You know, Rashi and the Ramban have a bit of a machlekes. Rashi learns it two of the non-kosher and the kosher, a total of seven. That's how Rashi learns. The Ramban learns the same way. It's just the two that were non-kosher, Noach had to go bring them. They came to Noach, and the seven and the additional six, which were kosher for karbonos, Noach had to bring it. That's how the Ramban learns. In other words, the two of each species that Noach had to bring to preserve the species, they came to him. The additional six couples, in other words, according to the Pashup Shad of Ring the Chumash, how many total kosher animals did Noach bring of each species? 14, right? Seven couples, no? And of a non-kosher species, two. The Zohar seems to read it, two, seven, seven, a total of 18. So look at these words of the Zohar. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, in Parshas Pinchas, Tevas Noach mini kodesh brichu la'ala ime shnayim shnayim shiva shiva. Noach was told to bring up into the Teva two and two, seven and seven, zachor nekeva lekorbana, for karbanos. Now, I'm not sure what he means, because he only brought, I guess, of the kosher animals, the Zohar is reading, he brought 18 of the kosher animals. Two, two, seven, seven. What's the gematria, what's the tally of two, two, and seven, and seven? 18. Chai. For what? La'agona al Noach. V'al kol inun de'al inim la'teva. To protect Noach and anyone who went up with him in the teva. Anyone who observes the Yomim Tovim, Shnayim Shnayim Shiva Shiva. Just like Noach brought into the Teva 2277, the Yomim Tovim are also 2277. How's that? So Zohar says you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, 2 days Shavuos, 7 days Pesach, 7 days Sukkot. So the same way, says the Zohar, these 18 animals protected Noach, the 18 days of Yom Tov protect Klal Yisrael. Then the Zohar adds something I don't understand. He says, since Shavuos is only Sveika de Yoima, we have 2 days of Purim to make up for it. So what does it mean, 2 days of Purim? I guess Yudalit and Tesvav. And what about Shabbos? Noach is Shabbos. Which may give us some insight. There's a big discussion that it says, the Yoina, right? Yoina Matza Boy Manoyach. The Yoina rested on Shabbos. Mehechi Tesi, the Yoina rested on Shabbos. Don't say anywhere he rested on Shabbos. But if the Yoina came back and rested with Noach, and Noach is Shabbos, so maybe that's what it means, the Yoina rested on Shabbos. There's a lot of this. I almost gave a shiur on that subject. What does it mean? What's the source? The Yoina rested on Shabbos. It says in Tikkunei Zohar that Klal Yisrael is Nimshal LeYoina, and Klal Yisrael finds respite on Shabbos. And they asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he said he once saw in a Medrash that says the Yoina rested on Shabbos, but he never found the Medrash again. Now, if Reb Chaim Kanievsky can't find this Medrash, you know, that's a pretty obscure Medrash. Anyway, what did the Yoina rest from plucking olive branches? I don't know. He was flying around. He was there. I'm going to maybe give some further elucidation later in the shir. So it comes out that these 18 animals that were supposed to protect Noach are a remez to the 18 days of Yom Tov that protect Klal Yisrael. Now, what's the last day of Yom Tov of these 18 days? Sukkot. So it comes out very beautiful. after we finish the cycle of 18 days of Yom Tov that begin Pesach, 7 days, and then Shavuos, 2 days, and then Rosh Hashanah, 2 days, and then 7 days of Sukkot, how we read Parshas Noach, then the message is, just like these 18 animals protected Noach, these 18 days of Yom Tov we just finished observing, they also protect us throughout the year. Maybe that's another keshar between the end of the Yom Tov of Sukkot and Parshas Noach. And then the Zayar drops the bombshell. Says the Zayar, Sukkah ka'aganis alayo di Yisrael, the Sukkah protects Kal Yisrael. Ma teva Noach la'agana, Sukkah la'agna. The teva is like a sukkah. And we already saw from the Malbim and the Gra and the Avodas Yisrael that in fact the dimensions of the teva are that of a sukkah. So we have this analogy that a sukkah is like the teva is like a sukkah. So let's see if we could develop that a little bit. How exactly is the teva like a sukkah? Okay, here's the warning for tonight. This shiur is for an adult, mature audience only. I wasn't sure if I was going to give this subject, but here we go. You know, we've been doing Parshas Noach, I don't know, we've been doing about 10 years, so, you know, we never discussed this, really. So, this is Torahi V'lumad Anu Tzarach. It's very interesting. You read the Parsha, and you don't really know why Hashem was destroying the world. You say, it was Gilui Arayos, it was Gzela, right? You read the Parsha, what did they do wrong? They mixed min b'sheinoy minoy, or they stole, le'nechtem gzardinim. And if you look in Rashi on Shas, Rashi gives a different reason why they what their Avera was. The Medrash alludes to it, Rashi says it explicitly. Rabbi Lezer Oimer, kal ha'oichez ba'ama u'mashtin ki'ilu mevi ma'ba la'ilam. One who holds the male organ and is mashtin, urinates, is like bringing a deluge to the world. Shenemar ki hishchis kol basar, which means that the Medrash understands that Avera of the Dor HaMabul was they were moitzi zera levatala. And the Medrash continues, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol ha'moitzi shech v'zera levatala, chayiv misa. Anyone who is emits seed in vain is liable to the death penalty. By the way, this is a stama halacha. It's important to know if you look in Siman Gimel and Shulchan Aruch, it mentions a few things. Number one, that somebody who is married, when they go to the bathroom, is permitted to be oiches ba'ama, to touch the eiver, but it's considered midas chasidos, not to handle the tip, let's say. But somebody who's not married is not permitted to touch it, because the Gemara in Shabbos says like this: The Tanya Rabbi Lezer Omer kol ha'oiches ba'ama u'mashtin ki'ilu mevi mabul la'olam. Someone who handles that aver, it's like bringing a deluge to the world. Says Rashi, Shemes Chamim, it causes a person to be heated up. Uvali de keri, it could cause a person to become tame. Vizeh kilkulai shaldar hamabel. This was their sin. Their sin was they were moitzi zera levatala. How do I know? Dechsiv ki hishchis kol basar. So the pasuk doesn't say that. You read the pasuk, you go to yeshiva your whole life, you would never know what the aveira of the dar hamabel was. Okay, for good reason, they're not going to be telling, they're not going to be saying this over, but according to Rashi, the sin was not gezela, maybe that was the gzardin. It's not really min b'she'enoi minoi, it's ki hishchis kol basar, it was a corruption of, they emitted zera for nothing. They wasted seed. That was the avera. So whatever you read and whatever you learned, says Rashi, says the Gemara, they were moitzi zera levatala. And the parameters of what is what a person could do to go to the bathroom. Again, somebody's married, there's more room for leniency because the person has pas besaloi, but one is not. There's more restrictions. Look in Siman Gimel and Shulchan Aruch, and I'm not going to get more descriptive than that. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the teva. Okay, so now we know what the sin of the Dor HaMabul was. Now let's talk about what exactly was this teva, what did the teva do, and how they were able to overcome this corruption. Little story. Remember we learned Masechta Sukkah? And the Masechta Sukkah talks about sleeping in the sukkah. Now, if you sleep in the sukkah, great. It's great to sleep in the sukkah. You could sleep and get mitzvahs at the same time. What if you sleep under the bed of the sukkah? Are you yotzi the mitzvah? The Mishnah says you don't get the mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? We used to sleep under the bed all the time before the Zekanim. They didn't say anything to us. Says the Mishnah in Sukkah, there's a story with Tavi. Remember Tavi? I know you're thinking, I heard Monday Shir. I gave a Shir on Monday on Tavi. This is new information. So if you know Monday Shir, great. There's new stuff. Tavi was the servant of Ram Gamliel. He slept under the bed. Ram Gamliel said, you see, Tavi, my slave, he's a Talmud Chacham. He knows Avodim are Potter from Sukkah. So when the Talmidim come into the Sukkah, clears out, he goes under the bed. This way he's not wasting any space that the Talmidim could sleep in the Sukkah. So Tavi, apparently, hung out in the Sukkah until the students got there, and then Tavi had to find a place to hide. Where's the best place to hide that he's not infringing on anybody's space? Under the bed. And Ram Gamliel said, look at Tavi, he's a Talmud Chacham. Chacham. Now there's a character in this week's parsha whose name sounds like Chacham, but not quite. Who? Chum. Chum is just missing the Cha. He's a Chum, but he's not a Chacham. So okay, come on. That's, you know, it's a bad joke. No, that's a good, it's not even a joke. Not even a good joke. It's true. Watch this. Says Megalim Chadashim, apparently, Tavi, he only hung out under the bed when the rabbis were there. When the rabbis left, he hung out in the sukkah. Could someone tell me why this slave is hanging out in the sukkah? Why is this slave hanging out in the sukkah? Especially Tavi. By the way, we know a few other things about Tavi. Just to review, when Tavi died, Ram Gamliel sat Shiva for him. They said, what are you doing? He's not Jewish. You're not related to him. He said, no, Tavi's not like every other slave. He's a Talmud Chacham. Not only that, Tavi wore tefillin. Not only that, one time Ram Gamliel punched Tavi in the eye and he knocked out his eye. And he was very happy because now Tavi could go free. And he told Rabbi Shimon, hey, look what I did. I knocked out his eye, now he could go free. That's what we know about Tavi. Why is Tavi sitting in the sukkah? So the first thing is, comes the chida, and the chida is Megala and the Dvash Lefi, that Tavi was the Gilgal of Chum. Okay? Chum, remember Chum. Chum, he was in the Teva. What did Chum do in the Teva? Chum was, Noach almost had to kick him out of the Teva. You know, the Briskerov says, you see, why didn't Noach kick Chum out of the Teva? There was a rule, nobody's allowed to be Mishamish Mitasa in the Teva, and Chum did, so kick him out. You don't kick anyone out of the yeshiva. Now the Oirev also violated. Oirev he threw out. You could kick a raven out of the yeshiva. Not a person. Can't kick. Anyway, Chum came out and he's no better. He in cahoots with his son. They saw Noach and they didn't do good stuff to Noach. But Chum had a good spark in him. That good spark was Tavi, the slave of Ram Gamliel. Now watch this. Says Achida, the gematria of Tavi is 21. The letter Chaf is what? 20, and Makailel is 21. So basically, Tavi is the Chaf that you could put back in Chum, and Chum became Talmud Chacham. That's why Tavi was a Talmud Chacham. He's the good Chaf that Chum was missing. And he's hanging out in the sukkah. Why is he hanging out in the sukkah? Okay, here we go. Here's the following principle. Maybe you will hear this principle again in your life. Maybe not. I don't know. But it's worthwhile to hear it at least one time. In the Sefer HaYetzira, which is, don't try that at home, he tells us one interesting idea. There's something called spheroids, which are mystical emanations. And they have names. We spoke about them by the Oshpizin, Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, whatever they are. some people invoke them during Sfiras HaOmer. There are 10 of them. And they correspond to the 10 fingers. And then the Sefer HaYetzirah says there's one God. And that corresponds to the Lashon, the tongue, and the Bris Milah. Says the Sefer Yetzirah, there's some kind of connection between the Peh and the Milah. That's the principle. You may never have heard it before. You may never hear it again. There is the two parts of the guf which are linked mysteriously are the Peh and the Milah. In fact, one of the Rishonim writes on the Pasuk of Parashas Lech Lecha, V'hoysa brisi bivsarchem, that's the covenant of Milah. Bris Oilam, that's the covenant of the mouth, the bris of Torah. The Chassam Sofer goes so far as to say the gematria of Peh, mouth, is 85, is Milah. Peh and Milah have the same numerical value in number 15. In fact, what were the three mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael observed in Mitzrayim? They didn't change their shmam, their name. They didn't change their lashonam, and they were makbid on ois bris. Shemam lashonam ois bris. That was the same zechus as Avraham Avinu. Eishel is ois. Shemam lashonam. The zechus of Avraham Avinu is ois bris. Shemam lashonam. You ever realize at a bris milah, so they do the circumcision, and then they put on the baby's mouth, yayin. Wait a second. Why are they putting yayin on the baby's mouth? They just did a milah. What does the peh have to do with it? It says matamim achadosh, because the bris hapeh and the bris milah are connected with each other. The mouth is connected with the peh. The mouth is connected to the milah. So the moyo puts the yayin on the peh, indicating an idea we've said in the past many times, that the purpose of the bris milah is to open up the lave to be able to learn Torah, so that there's a connection between the milah and the peh. I don't know if anybody would have thought that. I don't know if anybody would have realized that the mouth is linked to the kedushas bris milah. Says the chida, an amazing thing. Says the chida, if somebody wants to be shomer themselves from becoming tamei, then most important is to guard their mouth. Not to speak Lashon Hara, not to speak Nivel Peh, because the Lashon and the Milah are connected. One who is Poigame the Lashon, he will ultimately come to be Poigame the Bris Milah, says the Chida, and the Chida says this in many places in Esfarim. This is the interpretation of the Pasuk. Look at number 18. Amarti Eshmira Derachai. I said I'm going to guard my path. Says the Chida, what path? The path of a man. You know how I'm going to guard it? Mechatoi Bolshoini. I'm going to be careful not to sin with my mouth. And the Chida says further in his commentary to Tehillim, that based on a long-standing tradition, that if someone's poigame in the bris halashon, he will come to be poigame in the bris milah. This is what David HaMelech means. Eshmira derachai. Derachai refers to the derech gever. Then, if I'm careful not to be poigame in my mouth, I could guard the bris milah. So Hashem sent me a gift. You know, I never wondered about this because I never had a good answer. What parsha talks about bris milah? The mitzvah bris milah. What parasha talks about the mitzvah bris milah? We know after the Torah was given. That's before the Torah was given. Where does the Bible say Jewish people need to circumcise on the eighth day? Uvayoyim hashmini yimol besar alasoy. Parshas Tazria, the parsha of Tzaras. Isn't that odd? What in the world is the mitzvah bris milah doing in the parsha of Tzaras? Would you ever think to put the mitzvah? Would you put the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein in the parish of Tzaras? Why is Bris Milah? The answer is because the purpose of Bris Milah, the purpose is to retain Kedushas HaBris, is only acquired if you're careful not to get Tzaras. The two inyanim are linked. the Kedushas HaPeh and the Kedushas HaMila are linked. Now we understand why Mila appears in Parshas Tazria. Rav David Cohen of Gvul Yavetz, Coney Island Avenue, he wrote something like 11 volumes on the Siddur called Masas Kapi. And somebody happened to lend me one. I opened up the first volume. And he talks about this concept. And when I saw it, I said, okay, one day I have to speak about it. And I figured in a very, very, very long time, I don't know if I could get away with this subject, but I didn't have anything else to speak about this week. So here it is. He says, that's why the Gemara in Yevamah says, Mila is doichet tsaras. Right, if somebody if a baby has a tsaras, but makam amila, but you're not allowed to cut off tsaras. So that we learn out, say doicheloisa, say that mila is doichet tsaras. Why is mila doichet tsaras? Because the whole purpose of mila is to be retain kedushas habris, which leads to kedushas hadibur that prevents tsaras. So mila is doichet tsaras because the purpose of mila is to attain kedushas hadibur. Now we know, in Chazal say, in the merit that Klal Yisrael were performed Bris Mila, they left Mitzrayim. Now I'll tell you another thing, besides that. The night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, what mitzvah did Klal Yisrael do? They did Bris Mila. They liberated themselves through Bris Mila. Why was Mila needed to free themselves? Remember we learned that in Mitzrayim, what was in bondage? Their Koyach HaDibur was in bondage. Pesach is the liberation of the Koyach HaDibur. The Dibur of Klal Yisrael was in bondage. That's why Sogar Alehem HaMidbar HaMidaber. That's why Paro is Pera. Moshe was Aral Sefosayim. They were redeemed at Pi HaChirois. Their freedom of speech, their speech was liberated. How are you going to liberate the freedom of speech? They had to do Bris Mila. The way they got out of Mitzrayim is through the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Here's an amazing observation. Take a look at number 21. The Gemara says in Masechet Menachos that when David HaMelech went into the Merchatz, this is a famous Gemara, he saw himself Aram, he said, woe to me, I have no mitzvahs over here. No tefillin, no talis, no mezuzah, nothing. And then he realized he had Mila. He was Nesiashva Daitoi, so he went out and he sang Shira over the Mila. What did he sing? Parak Yudbeis of Tehillim, Lam Natseach, Alashminis, Mizmar, LeDavid. He praised Bris Mila. Which parak does he praise Bris Mila? Parak Yudbeis. Lam Natseach, Alashminis. So you would expect, we're going to open up Parak Yudbeis of Tehillim and we're going to see a whole parak that talks about the praise of Bris Mila. Let's take a look in Parak Yudbeis. Lam Natseach al Hashminis Mizmar LeDavid. So we think it talks about Mila, Priya, Metzitza, bagels, lox, orange juice. No. Hoshi Hashem ki gamarcha, save me God. Why? Because all these wicked people, Shav Yidabrish Israel, people speak falsely, Sfas Chalakoi, smooth lips, Belev Lev Yidaberu, words of hypocrisy, Yachreis Hashem Kol Sifsei Chalakois, cut off all smooth talkers, Lashon Medaberes Gedoilois, people who speak big, Ashar Omru, that they say, Lil Shoinenu Nagbir, we're going to overpower with our words, Sifaseinu Itanu, our lips are with us. The whole perek is talking about improper dibur. And here David HaMelech, he's praising Bris Mila. And what does he say about Bris Mila? All the terrible things that come about as a result of speaking. Mashmita Etzel Har Sinai. Why would David talk about the dangers and the pitfalls of speech in his Shira about Mila? Says of David Cohen, from here we see the tachlis of Bris Mila is to help a person guard their tongue. And vice versa, the Chida says. How does a person bring themselves to Shmiras Habris? Through Shmiras HaLashon. Somebody called me, said, Gladstein, you need to write a sefer about this inyan, Kedushas HaBris. Because that's what's holding up Mashiach. So while I have many reasons why I don't think I want to write a book about that subject, we could say, the Chafetz Chaim already took care of that. The Chafetz Chaim already wrote the book that's going to bring Mashiach. Shmiras Haloshein. Well, wait a second, but don't the Sivri Kabbalah speak about the importance of Shmiras Habris? The answer is someone who guards their tongue, that is the best way to bring Kedushas Yisrael in general. The two are linked, Kedushas HaPeh and Kedushas Yisrael. And this is quite a surprising concept that is, again, Chassam Sofer says in many places, Peh and Mila are the same gematria. That is why at the bris you put the yayin in the mouth of the child, indicating you're not only sanctifying the guf hayeled, you're sanctifying his peh. So could we suggest as follows? Here the whole world is being destroyed. Why are they being destroyed? Ki hishchis kol basar. By the way, I'll just add an interesting point. If you were Tavi, who's Tavi? Cham. What was the best 12 months when you were sitting in the teva, right? In the sukkah. So if afterwards you come out and now you're not Cham, you're Tavi, where would you want to hang out? What would bring back nice nostalgic feelings for you? You can't go into the teva, but at least you could hang out in the sukkah. That's why Tavis, he's always hanging out in the sukkah. You know, he feels at home. He remembers deja vu all over again. He remembers the good old days in the teva. So the teva is a sukkah. It's 300 by 30 by 50. What is the tachlis of a sukkah, the mitzvah of sukkah? Do you remember this gra? The letter sukkah composed of four letters. Samach, Vav, Chaf, Hey. Any speech therapists here? Nope? Okay, so I could say whatever I want. There are five Maitsoi Hadibar. There are five parts of the mouth. You have the teeth. Some letters you need the teeth, like Samach, Zayin, Shin, Resh, Tzadi. They emanate from the teeth. Samach comes from the teeth. Vav is one of the Beis Vav Mem Fe letters. They come from the lips, Vav. Kaf is guttural, the palate. Kaf is the palate, not guttural, the palate. Hey, Aleph Hey Ches Ayin is the throat. Samach Vav Chaf Hey represents four parts of the mouth. But there's another type of letter that comes from the tongue. In the word sukkah, no letter appears that comes from the tongue. The Gra says that teaches the purpose of the sukkah is to protect from Lashon Hara. And that's a pasuk in Tehillim. Look at number 25. Titzpenem besukkah meriv lashonais. God will protect you in the sukkah from speaking badly with the tongue. So the purpose of the sukkah is to protect the lashon. Hey, isn't that interesting? But these people in the times of the Mabul, they didn't need protection from the Lashon. They were just Hishchis Kol Basar. They were Moitzi Zera Levatala. They needed protection from the Kedushas HaBris. Why is God, so to speak, protecting them in a sukkah? That's exactly the point. To be protected from Kedushas Yisrael, to be protected from the Bris, you need extra degree of protection in Shmiras HaLashon. So to speak, how did God save the people who were not corrupted in the Dar HaMabul, who were Hishchis Kol Basar? He put them in the super chamber that strengthens one's ability to guard their tongue. Yeah, but that wasn't the chet of the Dar. Yeah, that's how you guard yourself from that particular chet. By sitting in the sukkah protects from the Lashon, and Mamela it protects Kedushas Yisrael. It comes out very interesting. Do you remember this Medrash? The Medrash tells us that Reb Shimon Gamliel asked his Eved, Tavi, go get me something really good from the marketplace. So Tavi went out and he brought back a tongue. And then he said, go bring me something really bad from the marketplace. And he brought him a tongue. And Rav Shimon Gamliel said, my hi, a good thing and a bad thing? He said, yeah, it's like the little girl. When it's good, it's really good. When it's bad, it's really bad. There's nothing better than a tongue, and there's nothing worse than a tongue. The Rashash asks, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel asked Tavi, But we know Ram Gamliel, his father, sat Shiva for Tavi. So the Rashash changes the girsa to Rabban Gamliel himself. Fine. So who teaches the world the power of the Lasha in the tongue? Tavi. The man who hung out in the sukkah. The man who's always in the sukkah. Because the sukkah is the protection from Lashon Hara. Why is God protecting? Again, we're advancing now that based on the Zayar, that the Teva was like a sukkah, and based on the Malbim, that the dimensions of the Teva, 300 by 50 by 30, are literally dimensions of the sukkah. How? Sukkah is 26, 65, the Yud times the Aleph, the Hey times the Dalid, the Vav times the Nun, the Yud times the Hey. The Teva is a sukkah, and it protected those who remained pure, and it boosted their Shmiras Halashon. By the way, it's interesting, according to the Yushalmi, Ram Gamliel did not knock out the eye of Tavi. He knocked out his tooth. Now, if Tavi was Chum, let's talk about Chum Zavera for a moment. Vayar Chum, he looked inappropriately. Vayaged. How strange. Two completely unrelated Averois. He was Nichshal in Arayos, and he spoke. Isn't that strange? In the same Pasuk, Vayar Vayaged, same Avera always. That's the Bris Halashain and the Bris Hamila. They go hand in hand. Ooh, says the Chida, now we understand. Chazal tell us that Lashon Hara is Chamor, it's equal to all three. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. How is Lashon Hara like the big three? Says the Chida very simply. It's like Avodah Zarah, because usually when people speak Lashon Hara, they whisper, and as soon as the guy comes, they make believe they're talking about how bad the Yankees are. So they make it as if the guy is not going to hear them, but the Ribbono Shel, nah, we don't believe in the Ribbono Shel. So Lashon Hara is Kfira, because they wouldn't say a word in front of the person who it's about, but they don't think twice that the Ribbono Shel is listening. So Lashon Hara is Avodah Zarah. How is it Gilui Arayos? How is it Shvichas Damim? Says the Chida, based on this principle. Because if someone is Nichshal in Lashon Hara, they'll ultimately be Nichshal in Kedushas HaBris. That's Gilui Arayos. And Chazal say, Kol ha-mashches zaroi ki'ilu shayfech damim. So all the three averois are included in Lashon Hara. So perhaps, again, the connection between Parshas Noach and the aftermath of the Yom Tov of Sukkos. The Yom Tov of Sukkos concludes the 18 Yomim Tovim. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, 2 days of Shavuos, 7 days of Pesach, 7 days of Sukkos, and we have all 18. That's why Noach was told, Mikol HaChai, all 18. We also, we're now walking away for the rest of the year. We have these Mikol HaChai in our back pocket, the 18 Yomim Tovim, and this way we're able to, so to speak, take the Sukkah with us. If we're Mekayim, Shivisi Hashem, Lenegdi Samid, we have the Yud Kei on top. We have the Aleph Dalet on bottom. If you multiply them, you get the dimensions of the Teva. You get Shalom, and that will protect Piv Ulashoinenu, and that brings not only Shmiras Halashoin, but Kedushas Yisrael in general. And I think this is a pretty compelling insight into why the mitzvah of Bris Mila appears in Parshas Tazria, in the Parsha of Tzaras, because these two inyanim are connected to each other. And it's very important. This is another dimension of the importance of Shmiras Halashon, which preserves the sanctity of the entire entity of a Jew. Thank you for listening. Chananya ben Akashi Oimer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakeh Zisrael, Lefi Kachir Lehem Torah Mitzvah Shenemer, Adonai Chafetz Man Tzidkoi, Yadil Torah V'Yadir. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.